says, because the grave is now empty, he is not here, for he is risen. The angels do not say, come see the place where the Lord lies at present, but come see the place where once he lay, but where he lays, where he lies no more. So that the resurrection of Christ from the dead, we say, is a reason why the seekers of Christ ought not to fear, and that we may consider in the third place. But what we have first to consider is this, that those to whom it is said, fear not ye, are those who seek Jesus, which was crucified. And that was the reason why these women arose so early this day. It was to seek Jesus. And although it is true that their faith was weak and their knowledge was poor, yet there was sincerity and love in exercise in this shall live. Yes, seek the Lord and you will find him. But do not rest until you do find him. And it is therefore to those who have already found Christ, but who are still seekers of him, that these words of consolation apply. For all who ever found the Lord, all who sought him in their lost and their ruined condition at first, and found him in a day of mercy, and were closed into him in the gospel offer and embraced him. A mark on you is this, that you became a seeker of the Lord ever after. Although you might be sure of your salvation, whether you are or not, if you found Christ, you will be a seeker of Christ. If you found him to form union with him in saving faith, you will be seeking him to have communion with him, seeking him to gain what would strengthen your soul, seeking him to draw out of his fullness, seeking him to hear his voice. And to you, the words are, fear not ye. I know the Lord is saying what is in your heart. And though at a communion season you were seeking him and did not find him, yet fear not ye. If you were exercised in that way, however imperfectly, however faintly, there is there what the Lord observed, and as he said on another occasion to one, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Thou didst well that it was in thine heart to seek Christ, though you did not find him as you desired. And thou didst well to yearn for a meeting with him and the ordinances of his own appointing. Though till now you were disappointed, for you did not find him, as was true of the women at this juncture. They had sought him, but they found him not. But still, it was being said to them, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now observe also, friend, that they were seeking Christ in the wrong place. They were seeking Christ where he was not to be found. So that, as we said, although love was in exercise, faith was weak and knowledge was poor. Had their faith been strong, had their knowledge been clearer, they would have known not to seek him in the grave. And that, as one other of the Gospels tells us, was indeed a question put to the women by the angel. Why seek ye the living among the dead? We are told that they went into the tomb, for the stone was rolled away. But they were much perplexed because they saw not the body of Jesus, much perplexed because they found him not. But the angel was saying to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And as it is here, they were saying to them, he is not here. Ah, friend, there are places where some might think to seek Christ, but the message of heaven would be, if I seek ye the living among the dead, he is not here. There are some who imagine they can seek Christ in the places of the world's company, in the places of the world's entertainment. They think they can seek Christ in the pub. They think they can seek Christ in a cinema or a theater, in the reveling of the world. But heaven would say, why seek ye the living among the dead? It's the dead spiritual that are here. The dead be seeking Christ, and to a great extent that may be true also of other churches who profess the name of Christ, but who deny His divinity, say, or who deny the doctrine of the total depravity of man, who have fallen into error and apostatized from purity and worship and in doctrine. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He's not among the Jehovah's Witnesses. He's not among the Mormons, though they have some profession of His name. Death, death, death is all that is there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, says heaven. But nor, friend, will you find Him in your own spiritual exercises if you are seeking Him in the covenant of works, in mere conviction. Although it's true that the Lord will use conviction to lead a sinner to find Christ, yet Christ is not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The law has only death to speak. Condemnation and death and in mere convictions, Christ is not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You'll not find Him there. No, nor will you find Him in a mere intellectual assent to the gospel, in a mere historical faith, no, not even in the joys, emotional joys of the stony ground here, in a temporary faith. Christ is not here, nor will you find Him, friend, in your own dark heart, in your sinful doubts and fears. Looking within, perhaps you are, you will not find Him there. Of your sinful doubts and fears, the angel would say, He is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Seek Christ in the right place. They were seeking Christ in the wrong place. They were seeking Christ in a grave where He no longer was. And the angels were saying, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. You are to seek the living in the right place. Seek the living among the living. All ye that to seek the Lord, your heart shall ever live. Seek Christ among the living. Seek Christ therefore in the gospel. Seek Christ in the free offer. Seek Christ in the covenant of grace. Seek Christ in the company of His gracious people. Seek Christ in the means of grace, for Christ is worshipped in spirit and in truth. Seek Him there, and that's a place where you will find Him. Do not look within. Look without. Look without to Christ in the offer of the gospel. Look to Christ in the word as revealed, as held up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Behold Him, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, crucified. There you will find Him. Fear not, even though you've got much that's mistaken and perplexing in your experience, if you are one who I would love to Christ, who's truly seeking Him. There were others there, and they were afraid. The keepers did shake. The keepers were there. What were they? Servants of Satan. Servants of Satan on a satanic errand. What was their errand? Their errand was to shut Christ into death. Their errand was to prevent, if they could, the rising of Christ from the dead, for we believe that it was a cover-up and not the true fear that the Jews had when they asked Herod for a walk. Jews said, His disciples will come by night and steal Him away. Do you think they really feared Him? Do you think these men really, really believed that the disciples of Christ who had forsaken Him and fled, who had shown themselves to be so timid and so afraid, would be so bold as to come and to deserves that soul and body would be separated one from the other. The soul torn apart from the body. That union with which we were made, so that we are creatures consisting of soul and body, which is natural to us to have soul and body dwelling together in one. We deserve for our sin that our souls would be torn out of our bodies, twisted and torn asunder, but it's altogether unnatural and awful to contemplate, so that the body would become lifeless, yes, and for us, so that the body would return to the dust, that our bodies would see corruption, that our bodies would be food for worms, that our bodies would corrupt in their dwelling places in the grave, and that our bodiless souls, our unembodied spirits, would go to the eternal world, yes, would go to hell, as to what our sin deserves. Justice, friend, demands that our lives be laid down, our lives be forfeited, that we be cut off out of the land of the living here. That's what justice demands, and it is in the long suffering of God that you have not yet died. The sentence of death is upon you. Your sin deserves that you would die, and that you would be cut off out of the land of the living, that your body would return to the dust from whence it was taken. And therefore, Christ died. Christ is a substitute for his people. Christ accomplishing their redemption from death. Christ bearing their sin, Christ bearing their curse. He must also die. And he did die. He not only suffered, but he suffered unto death. He was obedient in all his sufferings, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it was part, as we know, of his humiliation. Part of his estate of humiliation that his body would remain under the power of death for a time in the cold and the dark grave, the dominion of death would be over him for a while. He was there, the great enemy, the people will lie in the grave, yes, and their bodies will be united to Christ also, although in a different way. Christ's body was united to his divine person in a unique way, through the hypostatical union between the two. But Christ's people are united to him by the Spirit and by faith. And therefore, where a believer lies in the grave, it might still, in a sense, be said, they come see the place where the Lord lay. Fear not, the Lord says to the believer, as God said to Jacob, with regard to Egypt, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will go down into Egypt with you. I will be with you there, and I will bring you up again. And that's what the Lord says to the believer. Fear not to go down into the grave. I will go down into the grave with you. I will be with you there. And I will bring you up again. Christ's perfume, as some have observed, the grave for his people. Because he tasted death. He tasted death for every man, for the those who seek for of death, for Christ lay in the grave for them, so that we are called on by this portion of the Word of God to consider Christ lying in the grave. Come by faith, come see the place where the Lord lay, come see him there satisfying justice, come see him there in the room of his people, come see him there taking the sting of death away in the grave. Robbing the grave of his victim to pay the last mite as the surety in the prison on behalf of the debtors whom he represents. That's what Christ is. In the grave, he is the surety in the prison of death, paying and paying to the pain the last mite. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now that brings us thirdly and finally to the other reason given here, for the other foundation, to why they should not fear, which is this: he is not here, he is risen. Come to the place where the Lord lay. We observed already, not the place where the Lord lies, but the place where the Lord once lived. We see that Christ remained in the grave. There would be no fear at all. If Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins, the apostle said to those who wickedly denied the resurrection from the dead. If the surety is still in prison, then the debt is not yet paid. The debtor cannot there be free of fear. As long as Christ would lie in the grave, there can be no certainty that he has fully satisfied divine justice. For it would appear that he is still paying something toward divine justice of the death that his people deserve. But when you see Christ risen out of the grave in his resurrection from the dead, and then we know, and it is publicly declared to the world, that the Father is eternally and infinitely satisfied with the price that Christ has paid, crucified for you seek a risen Lord. Yes, you seek a living Savior. You seek one who is alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Christ has been shown